So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of
Hello.
Life.
We are glad you enjoyed Sportsnet 650, and thank you for all your years of loyalty.
You know, I thought all this would be a trigger, but I'm fine with it. I liked your robot voice. I'm still into Green Day.
Time off, baby.
Some other people are really jarred by this. Someone just texted, wow. Hey, look. We brought down one radio station. It's not out of the realm of possibility that Halpert and Brough could torpedo another one. Okay?
I think we just forgot to gas up the generators here at Sportsnet 650. So something happened to the power. We lost all the power.
And none of us handled it well, by the way. We all looked at each other and we're like, who's to blame?
I was looking at Dom and going, well, he's not going to fix it.
And I knew this was well beyond a Dom issue. We were very aware of that.
I liked how Dom's immediate reaction was to go to the floor and see if everything was plugged in. I'm like, I don't think it works like that, Dom.
All of Sportsnet 650.
I could be wrong, guys, but I think that's actually what happened.
Did you kick out the plug?
No.
All of Sportsnet
650. But I saw a flash from underneath the desk, and I'm like, oh, something's going on under there.
All of Sportsnet 650 hinges on one old power bar underneath the desk. That's it.
Yes.
When I was a kid playing hockey, minor hockey, my dad, you know, all the dads take turns running the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And my dad kicked out the plug on the scoreboard.
That's, yeah.
Lost it all. And couldn't, like, the game was delayed for 10 minutes. I was mortified.
Yeah, that's when someone kicks the big plug, and they know what it is because everything gets shut down. Someone just did it right here. You know that it is a major, major problem. Okay, real quick. Halpert and Brough of the Morning, final hour of the program. What we learn is Dan Murphy, who's patiently waiting on hold during all this rigmarole. We are brought to you by the fine folks at the Dulari family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dulari difference today. Visit your nearest Dulari Acura dealer today. We are also brought to you by Kintec. Jason, tell them about your orthotics.
This hour of Halpert and Brough is brought to you by Kintec footwear and orthotics. Yes, they do have both. It's not just orthotics, although they do have orthotics, and those orthotics are very fine orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net.
Phone lines now. Dan Murphy, Sportsnet 650. Go. Dan Murphy. Marf, how are you?
I'm good, boys. How are you guys doing today?
We're good, thanks. I think we're going to spend this entire hit talking about everything other than the Canucks and the National Hockey League, which is great for all of us, let's be honest. I know that you... Okay, we need to start with this Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka situation. Jason kind of introduced the story, but I turned to Jason. I'm like, there's no better person to talk about the highs and lows of competitive team golf than Dan Murphy, because I don't know if everyone knows this or not, but you and Shorty make a pretty mean duo. You guys are at one point the high end of your local club championship, and then this year, not so much.
Well, let's get something straight. It's not the club championship, because neither of us come close to winning that. Certain event.
Sorry, there, that's right.
But there is a Marine Drive Major that's a member.
Yes.
And Shorty and I won it in 2010, the first year we played it. And then last year, we came from behind to win in a playoff. So we're the first two-time winners of the event ever in the history of the club. And so we went back this year, you know, chests out, you know, peacock and feathers, ruffled, defending champions, first two-time winners ever. Ask for a little bit of a later tea time so you can have a couple of cocktails, you know, before you have to put out those two footers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, you know, feeling pretty good about ourselves getting out there. And 82 teams, it's maxed out. And after day one, we were 82nd.
Now,
yikes. 82 teams. So you went from literally first to worst.
Yeah.
Yes, but we were better on the Sunday, so we climbed out of DFL barely. But we did get out of, you know, dead effing last. So, you know, sometimes you win and sometimes you finish at the very bottom. So we'll regroup and try again next year. But I guarantee you, there's not many more that have more beers or laughs than us out there.
Okay, well, that's good because that means that there's some camaraderie within the team. Because this story that we're talking about from the Ryder Cup, it's funny to me because every time I see the Ryder Cup, I think the same thing. Like, these guys are not wired, and they're not meant to be on a team.
Well, the Americans aren't.
The Americans aren't.
And what we're talking about here, and Brooks Koepka made some comments yesterday or the other day that basically said, like, I'm not a big fan of the Ryder Cup because I have my routine and my individual routine. He was talking about how, like, he likes to go have breakfast and then he'll go watch Sports Center and he'll go hit a few balls. And when it's the Ryder Cup, he was like, I'm not saying it's a bad week. But he then said, like, I can't have my individual routine. Like, I have to go to team meetings. And then he also made some comments about, like, all I can do is my best. And, like, what am I supposed to do if someone puts me in a bad situation out of there? And then everyone said, this is why the Americans always lose to the Europeans, because they are a bunch of individuals trying to be a team, while Europe seems to embrace the team situation. Murph, you love the Ryder Cup. I know you love the Ryder Cup. What do you think about this whole dynamic with the American team? You've got the DeChambeau-Koepka rivalry, and Koepka had won that from a PR perspective, but Koepka is getting a lot of criticism for his comments about the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, well, first off, how are they so bad at this?
I have no
idea.
Why
would you say that going into this tournament? First off, why would you make those comments? Now, whoever you play with in the foursomes is going to feel terrible if they put you in a bad spot because they know how you feel. There's that.
Sorry, Brooks. Sorry, yeah, Brooks.
Sorry.
And secondly, DeChambeau, why would you say your hands are a mess because of the speed training you're doing for the Long Drive Championship on the Monday after the Ryder Cup? Why would you guys be saying these things? Like, they're both unlikable. I'm sorry. And I would rather, I don't know who I'd rather win. But I find DeChambeau more interesting TV, let's put it that way, because it just can go sideways sometimes. I just don't understand, like, why you would say these things, especially when the Americans are known as not being a great team at the Ryder Cup. And the last one being when Patrick Reed doesn't get named to the team, and, you know, probably for good reason. He had pneumonia and missed the couple tour events in the playoffs. And then he's liking tweets that are saying, people saying, oh, Stricker's a coward. He's smashing the like buttons on that. You know, so even if someone gets hurt, now you're going to get picked, Patrick? And how well-liked are you? So, I mean, I don't get it. They can't get out of their own way. I mean, they should be, they're talented enough to win. But man, oh man, they put themselves behind the eight ball teams every single year just because of, you know, dumb comments and, you know, really just thinking about the individual instead of the team.
No, it is funny, though, because, like, with your job covering the Canucks, you see, you know, everyone calls hockey the quote-unquote ultimate team sport, and then you see these guys, and you're asking the question, how can DeChambeau and Koepka say these things? My answer would be because they literally don't know what it's like to be on a team. Like, I'm sure Koepka thought he was just speaking honestly and openly, not even considering A, B, C, and D ramifications that you just pointed out. Now, the weird part is, I assume that would be the case for all golfers, because they are, that and tennis are the most individual sports, right? You worry about yourself, and that's it. But the Europeans, Jason, you're right, they do have to have some internal sense of what it means to put the individual part aside and then go rally. But at the same time, these guys are all doing the same thing every week. They're looking out for number one, and that's it. It's a really fascinating dynamic.
It is, and the thing is, too, that the Europeans can play, you know, different games as well within the team. Like, let's put a couple Spaniards together, and it's us against the Americans, right? Like, you can have little mini teams within your team, but I think that the camaraderie is always there.
Right.
And the big thing is, let's take down the big bad Americans, right? Like, let's shut up Koepka and Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed if he's there. I'm not guaranteeing a European win. There's still so much talent with the Americans, but I just find that they can't get out of their own way, and that's usually just because of what they say.
Camaraderie's an interesting thing as we segue into the NHL and the Canucks. Yes, we are going to do some hockey with Dan Murphy from Sportsnet. I think going into the season, Murph, it's going to be interesting from that camaraderie sense, because we heard so many bad things about last season, that the losing on the ice, the COVID off of it, the room, the attitudes, the frustration, it was very visible at certain times of the season. The Nate Schmidt situation played out as it did. And now everyone's going into this season, and it seems like the mantra is almost, we need to do the exact opposite of last year in every way. So don't get sick, get along.
Play defense.
Yeah, right.
Try it, at least.
Don't turn the puck over a million times a game. Try not to lose a bunch of games right at the start of the season that torpedoes the rest of the campaign. And I think a big part of that is they want to have positive vibes, as they say on the interweb, going into the season, and that's across the board. That's a tall order because you've got a lot of the same returning characters going on. You need to flush last season, but as Travis Green has pointed out on a few occasions, they also need to keep last season's memory alive because they want to make sure that nothing happens like it did last year.
Yeah, and that's last year. That's when, you know, they were just, you know, didn't have to deal with us except for via Zoom calls. Could you imagine how much more angry they would have been answering questions face-to-face all the time when the room's open after some of these losses and the manner in which they lost, et cetera. I do think that there is enough turnover now that at least you can go into your camp and say, and again, I'm not going to bash Nate Schmidt. I think it was probably a terrible year. It was a terrible fit. I was in the wrong situation. And, you know, Holtby, by no fault of his own, has been moved out via a buyout. But I think there has been enough turnover. So now you've got Connor Garland. Now you've got Jason Dickinson. Now you've got OEL. You've got some fresh faces. And you're also, you know, you're coming off a season in which everything went wrong. So, I mean, I think that I don't think it should be a problem to go in with high hopes, go in with a good attitude, go in with positive vibes. But that's, you know, assuming that they don't go out in the 6-game road trip to start the season and go 2-4, right? You could get some sour vibes going pretty quickly. So I think there's been enough turnover in the room. I think there's been enough space between last season and this season now, right? A little more time to breathe. And I think that you'll see, you know, good energy, at least at the start of camp. You know, again, assuming that, you know, guys like Pettersson and or Hughes don't miss too much of camp or preseason games before their deals are signed. I don't think that will cause any friction in the room. These guys know what it's all about. It happened to Besser a couple of, 2019, he missed all of camp and the first one, at least first preseason game, maybe the seventh. I'm not sure when he arrived after signing that deal. So they know that part's a business, but I think they also know that they need those two guys up and running at the start of the season. So there is a potential to have a little friction if things don't go well in negotiations, but I think enough time has passed and there's enough turnover in the room that I don't think right away they'll be thinking back to last season.
We were talking about the Alberta teams earlier in the show, and our poll question is actually, will the Canucks be better than the Flames and Oilers this season? We came up with four options. Better than the Flames, better than the Oilers, better than both, or worse than both. Only 10% of voters voted for worse than both.
Yeah.
A lot of people seem to think the Canucks will be better than Calgary. Less convinced about better than Edmonton, obviously based on the standings last season, but Mike and I were, you know, trying not to be complete homers, but we were looking at the Edmonton lineup and saying, man, they still lack depth up front and on the back end, and you don't know if Mike Smith is going to be able to give them the goaltending again. And then you look at Calgary and say, well, how much are they going to miss Mark Giordano? I wouldn't argue with someone that came out with a power ranking with the Canucks ahead of both those teams. It's the division is hard because most people will have Vegas at the top, but then after that, man, it's wide open for me.
Yeah, like 2-6, I think it's going to be very tight. I'm not sure how it's going to wind up. I do still put Edmonton ahead of Vancouver. I'm not sure if that's wise when there's, you know, now no Larson and Klefbom. And Mike Smith had a great season last year, and he's obviously physically, he's, you know, really capable, but he's getting long in the tooth. I have a lot of question marks about Calgary. The defense is better than, still without Giordano, it's still probably better than Vancouver's and Edmonton's at this point, I think. But I just don't know what the identity is. I know that they've signed some players that are, you know, Sutter type guys. But I just don't know about that mix at this point. And this is a team that said they need to move and change some of their core, and they weren't able to do that. And Treliving's quotes yesterday, I thought, were quite telling, basically saying, you know, people weren't interested in coming here. And since we've been, you know, the way we played the last couple of years, you know, the value of some of my players were depressed. So, you know, they're coming back with the same core, right? You know, that's, you know, it's got to feel a little bit stale. They tinkered around the edges, But I'm not sure, you know, aside from Coleman getting the deal, I'm not sure if those players are going to be guys that can really move the needle. So I would say I still have Edmonton above Vancouver with some reservations. I like Vancouver's forward group a lot. But I would say I would put Vancouver slightly ahead of Calgary at this point, in my mind.
Murph, you're the best, bud. Thanks a lot for doing this today. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week. Let's do this again next week.
You got it. Okay, boys. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Dan Murphy, Sportsnet's very own Vancouver Canucks / Ryder Cup reporter here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
I voted the same way as Dan. I voted better than the Flames. And for the record, like, means nothing. Like, I had the Canucks in the playoffs last season over, I think I put them over Edmonton and Winnipeg, and I had Calgary above them. Mm-hmm. So I was basically right about, like, half of my predictions for the division last season. Which one did you vote for?
Better than Flames.
Yeah.
To me, and again,
McDavid and Draisaitl are just so good.
I'm very loath to make any predictions because I've looked at this division up, down, and left and right, and I think it's the most unpredictable and the potential to be really bad in the NHL, and that's often bad. I can correlate with unpredictability because when a team's terrible, you can feast on them. Team gets inflated, regular season standings, et cetera, et cetera. Between the Flames and the Oilers, the one thing I can say definitively is that I can definitively say the Flames are the bigger question mark than the Oilers. I think the Oilers are a playoff team. I think the Oilers showed that they're
In terms of making the playoffs?
They're too good of a regular season team just by way of having Draisaitl and McDavid. That your question,
but they've missed the playoffs with those guys before.
Right, but I don't think that they're in that zone and anymore.
Like, I think Hyman will be a good addition for them.
And I would say, and Mark Spector, who we had on in the 7 o'clock hour, if you want to listen to the podcast from our 2, good interview with Spec, he said that the questions for this team are going to be in April, not in October, the Oilers. And I think that's fair. I think everything that they're talking about, call the rule book, we need to be a heavier team, we need to score more dirty goals, I think that's all translated into we need to be a better playoff team, not a regular season team. Calgary, I don't know what to expect from Calgary. I really don't. I think that they have so much internal crisis when it comes to what are we, what's our identity, what do we want to be, that often plays out on the ice. They're the biggest floor-ceiling team in the league. Like, their ceiling is incredibly high because they have so much talent. But their floor is really low because it just seems like they can be the most disjointed team in the NHL on certain nights where guys just don't show up.
How many coaches have they had in the last little while? Because you listed them off and you forgot the Glenn Gullitson.
No, I didn't go that far back.
But that's only like 3 or 4 years
ago. Bob Hartley, Glenn Gullitson, Bill Peters, Jeff Ward, and now, of course, Daryl Sutter. Did I miss anybody?
I don't think so.
I think I got it all.
It's a Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Send in your What We Learns now into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. We will read them on the other side.
Thank you for listening to Sportsnet 650. Good riddance. Just kidding. Here is Halford and Brough.
8:28 on a Thursday. Halford, Brough, Sportsnet 650.
That was pretty good, Tom.
It was nice. Good music choice, too. We're going to end up like Nelly. Sorry.
Playing a lot of state fairs.
Halford and Brough doing community shows in Nanaimo.
Halford and Brough live from Wenatchee.
2:30 in the afternoon. It's some half-baked casino. Where in addition to doing our show, we also have to carve the roast beef.
All right.
All right.
This hour of Halford and Brough is brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. My feet feel great. They really do.
You're walking on clouds. What are the shoes called again? Ones?
On.
On. Not one.
It's a bit of a weird name.
Just O-N.
O-N, yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, it's just Swiss. They can be weird.
That's true. I'm very happy for you that your foot problems, your leg length discrepancy or whatever it's called. I don't listen to the commercials.
Yeah. Well, part of what they did is they take a chainsaw and mm-hmm. they evened up the legs.
Good. Kintec.
They took an inch off the left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shave a little bit off the left one there.
Yeah. It's a little painful, but, you know.
But I've never walked better.
But they get results.
Yeah. We are also brought to you by the fine folks at the Dallari family of Acura dealers. Go check them out today. North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, Burrard Acura on 730 Terminal Avenue. Check out a vehicle of your choosing. You could go SUVs and you can get into something like an MDX or an RDX, which I quite enjoyed. Now, I will say, currently I am hashtag sedan life, living the TLX life. It's been a fantastic ride. My second TLX from the good folks at Burrard Acura. Both have been great. Highly recommend it. Whatever the case, whatever the choice, whatever decision you want to make, just go to one of the three Acura dealerships and experience the Dallari difference. What we learns, let's play the music because we actually do have one today.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn, a thirst for knowledge.
So, what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say f*** the lemons and bail.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
Yeah, we actually did learn something recently. Came through our personal inboxes from the NHL Public Relations Department. The 2022 Tim Hortons NHL Heritage Classic, that outdoor game, will feature the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Buffalo Sabres at Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, Ontario.
Two of my favorite cities, Buffalo and Hamilton.
Together at last.
This is a bit of a weird one in that Buffalo is playing. Right. I know Buffalo is close to Canada, but they aren't Canadian. Mm-hmm. And the Heritage Classic has been all Canadian teams involved. So Buffalo now involved in this. Mm-hmm. Were they worried that they wouldn't be able to sell it out? So they needed someone close?
I guess.
Like, this is weird to me.
That just seems weird that they'd be worried about not selling it out already. I mean, it's the Leafs in an outdoor game.
Was Montreal not interested in coming to Hamilton or something?
I don't know. I don't know the rationale behind this. I mean, I get the geography of it all, but I mean, in addition to not being a Canadian team, the Sabres
stink.
Suck.
Yeah.
They're not a good team. What's the draw? Hey, come watch Jack Eichel not play hockey.
Do we get to go to Toronto? No, you got to go to Hamilton.
I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Maybe it's I mean, listen, I'm joking about Hamilton. There's lots of great hockey fans in Hamilton. I don't need to tell the 1987 Canada Cup story again, do I?
Because
that was in Hamilton and the fans were great, the old Cops Coliseum. And that's a nice football stadium they've built in Hamilton, but I don't know why Buffalo's involved. At any rate, you know what? I don't care either because it's another outdoor game.
And yeah. How
I don't want it in Vancouver.
I don't want to. Right? Like, I don't need.
And I don't need the Canucks involved either.
Is the Heritage Classic in Vancouver from BC Place maybe the worst outdoor game in the history of outdoor games?
Yes,
it's on the list.
It's on the list.
It wasn't an outdoor game.
Yeah,
it was a three-quarter. It was a half outdoor game, three-quarter outdoor game.
No, the roof was closed. It wasn't. It was indoor.
Okay, it was an indoor. It was an indoor outdoor game.
You know, it's a riot. I think this is hilarious, but maybe it's just my stupid sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Tim Hortons Field has a capacity of 23,000 people.
Yeah.
Scotiabank Arena has a capacity of 19,800. So you're not even generating that much more in ticket sales.
They'll expand it, though. I think it's expandable for things like the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
A lot of those stadiums.
But yeah, no,
it's not. Are.
It's nothing. There's nothing really special about it, to be honest, other than it's in Hamilton. It's not like a.
Is that special?
Well, for Hamilton, it is. I don't know about the rest of Ontario, but Hamilton's like, yeah, we like it. But usually, when this little outdoor game. I don't want to call it a facade, but when the whole thing started, when the trend started, it was about putting games in cool historic places, right? And we probably saw the best one of them all was the Leafs Red Wings game from Ann Arbor, the big house in Michigan, over 100,000 people in attendance. Once you've exercised the coolness factor of that, so, I mean, what were the other ones? Wrigley. I'm trying to think of the ones off the
Fenway.
Top of my head. Fenway, mm-hmm. et cetera. You know the ones we're talking about.
I think Dodger Stadium was cool.
Then they get regional. But that was an LA thing. I don't think a lot of people in Boston cared that there was a game being played. So, but that's fine. Regional is good, but it's not when the Canucks play the Senators at BC Place. Like, that was just tacked on for no reason. Now,
the only thing that accomplished was moving Roberto Luongo's contract.
Right. That was it. That was the biggest. That's the only thing I remember that game for, to be honest. I have no idea who won it.
Ottawa.
We could agree to disagree. I could say Vancouver. And
and no one would bother to check.
Everyone's like, they both sound right. Now, I will say this. The next version, the next wave of outdoor games, they have to start getting, like, crazy. Like, let's get nuts.
Wasn't that Lake Tahoe?
Lake Tahoe. And I think they need, like, you could do it from the stern of a battleship. Right? That's one that I think that they should put in the mix.
If TV ratings matter to them. But a lot of these things are just cash cows for the local markets.
Because this game right now, Toronto, Buffalo, from a CFL stadium in Hamilton, that has no marquee value.
No. But they'll be able to sell tickets for a lot.
So it becomes a regional thing. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It'll sell out. It'll make some teams some money.
And it'll get good ratings in Canada because we love hockey.
Will it?
We're addicted to it. Yeah, I think so.
Now,
in general.
But I think the next
generation. Bad ratings in Hamilton because everyone will be at the game.
Right. Why? Literally every person. So the steel mills will shut down for the day, as I understand it. Now, but I'm serious, though. I think that the next frontier is maybe playing on a frontier. Like, they have to go crazy because otherwise these things are going to get less and less entertaining and more kind of like eye-rolling.
Hockey game in space.
Right? That's a possibility.
Yeah. Well, with all these civilian trips to space. Mm-hmm.
Like, can you think of one off the top of your head?
No.
Is there
I think it was last year. Yeah. Was it Pedersen, Horvat, Demko? They went to a top of a mountain.
Yeah, they should do that. Lake Louise would be cool. And they were going to do Lake Louise, but right. I think COVID.
And I also think it was a nightmare to try and shoot. Because I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Lake Louise isn't set up for television.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's a nightmare.
It should
to
be,
shoot.
Though, right? They should build a massive stadium there. Just ruin it.
How do we ruin
the beauty of Lake Louise?
But we just want to ruin it for a temporary event. Well, not a full-time thing, just a temporary event.
And then just let the lake melt, and then all the stands just go to the bottom of the lake.
That's how I understand nature works. That's
it'll all figure it out in millions of years.
Fire up the dot matrix. Yeah, of course, Moo Cow. Fire up the dot matrix. Some humanoid submissions from what we learned.
Jeremy and Langley making reference to the fact that the station went down for a bit and everyone thought we had taken down another radio station. What we learned, can't wait to see you guys on Dancing with the Stars. Do you think for the big stars, like some of the reality TV stars will be happy to go on Dancing with the Stars, I'm sure.
Yep.
But for the big ones, they're just like, when you get the Dancing with the Stars call, you're kind of like, it's over.
Yeah, it's not unlike one when we talk about famous musical acts that were big time in the 80s and playing to sold out arenas.
Yeah.
And now you're playing, you're the lead in for the Super Dogs at the PNE. There's that cold slap of reality. Also, from a Canadian perspective, I think we get the call for Battle of the Blades. I think that's how it works for us. Dancing with the Stars is above us.
Mm-hmm.
Battle with the Blades seems like it's right in the wheelhouse.
Dave Chappelle had a good bit about Dancing with the Stars. Remember when he took the hiatus?
Yes.
And he had a joke about, like, you know, like he thought he might get the Dancing with the Stars call. And he was saying, I'm not going to do that. Regardless, I'm not doing it.
Some guys in his Rolodex, he's like, how desperate is Dave Chappelle right now? He's been off the air for a year. Is he in Dancing with the Stars territory yet? The best joke I ever heard was that when our careers are done, we'll be touring agricultural affairs. People demanding that we do a shotgun jig.
We've both got like massive beer guts.
We'll be like Bart Simpson, and they're like, say the line, Bart. And they'll be Mike and Jason, and they'll be like, drink the beer, Mike.
And the shotgun takes like 5 minutes, and we're just see the tears coming down.
I'll be doing it for free, like festival food, and for them to redeem my parking. That's where my career's going to end up.
Maury the Mill Guy, what we learned. I just learned that there is such a thing as lawn paint.
There is?
It's exactly what it sounds like. You paint your struggling lawn to give it that perfect lush green every dad and golf course is aiming for. This is the equivalent of the Flames adding an Eric Gabranson type to add some truculence to cover up for your team's confused identity.
One, very good analogy. That's well played. Like that's a great, that's a home run text from Maury the Mill guy. Okay, I did not know that there was lawn paint. You're really deeply into the lawn again now. I know.
Well,
you,
this
know,
is what, a, what's your thought here?
Well, this is the well, it's cheating. Lawn paint is cheating, and some golf courses will do it if they have a televised tour event
sure.
coming.
Got to make it look lush.
Yeah. This is a big time of the year for lawns because it's starting to grow again, and a lot of your seeding mm-hmm. will get done at this time of the year. You got some more moisture. So it is like, and you've got a small window, right? Because the first frost of the year is when the lawn won't grow anymore.
On the subject of the PGA Tour and lawns, we have what we learned here from Dustin and Abby, hashtag WWL. For a guy who claims to be more into team sports, Brooks Koepka would be a horrible teammate. Dysfunction in the USA room is good for my bets, though. Go Europe. Yeah,
it's fun being in Canada and everyone cheers for Europe.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, you could not get more ugly American than the Ryder Cup. Because, I mean, it's like crystallized. It's like everything you hate about America. They're lousy tourists.
Yeah.
They're boorish. They're loud. And now they're all together wearing hideous shirts. And you just root.
Plus all the Chads and Chets that go and watch.
Yep, that's true. A lot of pop collars. Did they still pop their collars?
Sorry, the who?
Chads and Chets.
Chads and Chets.
You know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know exactly
who we're
talking about.
They're wearing the Pit Vipers.
Yeah. You know exactly who we're talking about.
Yeah. And they wear, like, golf shoes to the course.
Yeah, they're shotgunning White Claw.
Yes. You do know Chad and Chet. No, it's a good point. I'll be cheering for the Europeans at the Ryder Cup. I always do. I like it because I don't know half the guys.
That's such a good weekend, too, because you got the Ryder Cup and NFL. Like, on at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just
mainlining sports at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is definitely, like, a lump in the couch where you are. Such a good weekend.
My groove.
I really like this one. It's unsigned. What I learned is that everyone thinks Vegas will be top of the league again. But they've lost their best goalie in Fleury, and the entire lineup is older. Not a lot of youth in a game that is now about speed, not brawn. I do sometimes get worried when we do these throwaway assumptions. Like, yeah, Vegas will be at the top of the division. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not even bother discussing Vegas. I still think Vegas is pretty loaded when you look at their forwards and their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe down the middle is an issue for them. Remember, there are lots of rumors about maybe Jack Eichel goes to Vegas because they don't have that, like, true 1C elite player who's going to be in the heart running or the Selke running.
On that note, I've got a piping hot take, but I can save it if you want.
Just hold on a sec. But it's a good point, I think, about Fleury not being there anymore.
Yeah.
So their goaltender tandem is Robin Lehner and Laurent Boissois.
Yep. Who's been a decent backup. It's very clear.
But he's bounced around.
I mean,
he's been Edmonton and Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, and he's been fine. I mean, he's no Marc-Andre Fleury. They had the best goaltending tandem in the NHL last year, in my money. But it was an issue. But you couldn't keep both guys. I'm just
wondering if things start to go sour there a little bit.
I would say the culture issue there is this organization really going to be loyal to me in the long run because of what happened with guys like Nate Schmidt, Marc-Andre Fleury, et cetera, et cetera. I'll say this. My piping hot take for this is that Nolan Patrick is going to turn his career to a complete 180, and this is going to be such an amazing fit for him.
Really?
Yeah, because he's still only 22 years old. I think a lot of people forget that. The same age as the Pettersson draft. He's been besieged by things that were beyond his control, namely incessant headaches. And he's got there's a million awesome wingers to play with in Vegas and... Who's the best center that's in front of him? Chenan LeBlanc?
Yeah, probably.
It's my hot take.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
It's fine.
I think the Flyers would be like, what? How did he end up in Vegas again? What was it?
Cody Glass?
Yeah. Maybe the Flyers were like, we got to get Cody Glass here. Anyway, both those guys will be interesting to watch next season. The official financial sponsor of Halford and Brough is ZLC Financial. Whether you're nearing retirement and looking for consistent income, or you're a young entrepreneur with a desire for long-term Growth. ZLC's advisors will work with you to align your financial future with your specific personal, professional, and financial goals. To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.
Finally, before we get into the final segment of the day, Halford & Brough is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you're closing your business and you're not sure what all your assets are worth, don't worry. Able Auctions can help. They've been helping BC business owners wind down and sell their business assets in an orderly manner for over 30 years. Whether it's a complete manufacturing plant, a restaurant, or a mechanical shop, Able Auctions has seen it and done it all. Email sales@ableauctions.ca and get your free of charge confidential consultation scheduled today. That's sales@ableauctions.ca. .848 on a Thursday, Halford & Brough, Sportsnet 650. A couple people have texted in errors and omissions. We didn't give the full scope of the Nolan Patrick, Cody Glass, and incorrectly inferred that Cody Glass was with the Philadelphia Flyers. It was a three-team trade. I can't say three-way trade, because technically it was two separate transactions.
Yeah, there was some flipping.
Right.
But Cody Glass is in Nashville.
Yep.
Ryan Ellis is in Philly.
Right.
Nolan Patrick, Vegas.
Right. Okay. This all just stems from the fact that my piping hot take was that Nolan Patrick was going to have a breakout year and ascend to great heights in Vegas.
Had you been scouting him extensively, or?
I just kind of saw it as one of like those, if you were to be like a draft guy,
right,
and you wanted like a value pick late, people have kind of forgotten about Nolan Patrick, that he was the number two overall pick in his draft class and was now no longer with the Philadelphia Flyers. And I look at the situation in Vegas and I'm saying, really good wingers, not great center depth. Why not him instead of Chandler Bong? That
all
was
right.
It.
Yeah. We'll see.
Anyway, so there's that out of the way. We do have some news from Sportsnet's very own Elliot Friedman. I'll call it like a laundry list of details from NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly. The first regarding, will Canadian teams play to capacity to begin the year? In Alberta and Manitoba, so that, of course, is the Oilers, the Flames, and the Jets, the answer is yes. In Ontario, the answer is maybe. They're awaiting guidance, is the phrasing that Friedge used. And in Montreal and Vancouver, the answer is no, it's going to be partial capacity.
And a lot of people are pushing back on Friedge's report that there's going to be full capacity in Alberta, considering what that province is going through with COVID right now.
Yet, we had Mark Spector, also from Sportsnet, on the program at 7. Go back and listen to hour 2 of the podcast. You can do that through Google Podcasts or at Sportsnet 650. Now, the interesting thing there is Speck said, reading the tea leaves, he expected them to be at full capacity, because he said, and I'm paraphrasing, the provincial guidelines that were handed down yesterday by Alberta, what they have with regards to double vaccine passports in Alberta now, it kind of almost skirts around whatever restrictions were yesterday.
Right.
So the possibility could exist that, yes, we have these very advanced lockdown protocols in place in Alberta, but hockey games could still have max capacity because of the rules that they have in place.
So if everyone's vaccinated, basically.
Correct. So you could have 18,000 vaccinated people.
Well, the Canucks opened their regular season in Edmonton October 13th. So we'll just wait and see on that. Friedge also reporting that the salary cap is expected to go up $1 million for next season. The report on the Evander Kane situation is expected before the opening of training camp. And Evander Kane has a sit-down interview that's been recorded already with Linda Cohn
from ESPN.
Of ESPN. And that is expected to be broadcast in a matter of, what, hours?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be 1 o'clock Eastern, so 10 o'clock our time.
Right.
And I will be very curious to hear what he has to say, because he is facing a series of allegations. It's not just about the gambling. There was a lot of allegations thrown around from his estranged wife, is the best way to classify it, I think, to be as accurate as possible. And that's something that he's going to need to address as well.
And not legal ramifications, but I wonder if Linda Cohn will ask him about the reports that his teammates would prefer he not return to the Sharks.
I would imagine that would probably be a talking point because it's been extensively written about.
Yeah.
There's been multiple articles that, you know, players have gone to general manager Doug Wilson and asked to, for lack of a better term again, sort out Evander Kane, be it punishment, fines, suspension, or buying him out or trading him.
Let's wrap up the poll question brought to you by Regal Grooming Lounge. And the three of us are headed down to Regal Grooming Lounge on Tuesday for a haircut. Dom, are you just going to get a little trim? Because it doesn't look like you need, like, I'm in need of a haircut. Halford could use a haircut, although he doesn't always take the advice. Your hair looks pretty tight right now.
I'm just going to tell them, surprise me. I want something new.
Surprise me with a facial. A surprise facial.
I didn't see it coming.
Will the Canucks be better than the Flames and Oilers this season? Dom is speechless right now. Four options we came up for the poll question. Better than the Flames, better than the Oilers, better than both, or worse than both? Congratulations to the Canucks being better than the Flames.
I love being a part of the winning side. That's what I voted for.
52% of you, rounding up, said the Canucks will be better than the Flames, which means they won't be better than the Oilers. A sizable portion of you said they'll be better than both those teams at 37%. 10% of you said worse than both, and just a smidgen, like 1% of you said that they'll be better than the Oilers, which means that they'd be worse than the Flames. So like the power ranking of Calgary on top, Vancouver, then Edmonton is the least expected. So that's probably what it's going to be.
Yeah. I voted for better than Calgary because I thought it was the easiest choice. Like I can conceive the other ones seem like a tough go. Mm-hmm. Like the Canucks will have to have a lot of things to go right to for those things to happen.
Yeah.
Or wrong, I suppose. But in Calgary, I'm like, I could see this happening.
Like disaster season for the Flames?
Just another year where they kind of muddle through it because I think that there's like four different personality traits at play where they're trying to establish their identity. And this is a season where they're going to try to do that even further, but there's so many different forces pulling in different directions. I feel like it's a very odd, messed up team. We will try and get a Flames guest for tomorrow so we can continue this look into our Alberta neighbors, but that's for tomorrow. We got to get out of here for today. It's been a fun show. Thank you all for listening. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He's been Jason Brough. He's been Nephew Dom. This has been the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.